morning, God. Good morning, God. Here I am, here I am, checking in with you. Good morning, God. It is such a good morning. And every time the Christian brothers and sisters get together to worship our awesome God, that is the morning I would like to have every day. If you cannot have this big crowd, brothers and sisters, get together at your home with your spouse, your children, you can call this amazing good morning with your family at your dining table. I hope that all of you can practice that one. If you are not the early riser like me, since Song and I go to bed at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., something like that, still, whenever you get together with your family, first thing you can do is praising God and for giving you another day to live the life God given to you and me. That is amazing. Just having life on the earth is amazing. And then today is that we're going to talk about God has a plan. Not the plan, but a plan. And God has a plan for me and a plan for you. Probably the plan might be a little bit different from each other because all of us are somewhat different from each other, right? Look at right person on right side. Do that person's face is exactly like you? No, right? God customized a lot of things for you to make it relevant. God has a plan for you and me. In church, we say that God has a plan for me. But I was questioning, is that right? And I would like to have some confirmation through the reading of the Bible. And whenever I have a question, I usually pull out the Bible. So if you, we're going to look at three passages today based on the main text we heard. And if you are able, please open your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. When you open up the Bible in the middle, open it up, it is on the left-hand side, which is called Old Testament. Jeremiah is the one of the prophet from the old time. And Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It is a short verse, and so I think that we can read it in one voice. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It is in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Ready? Go. This passage says that I formed you, before I formed you in the mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Before you and I were formed in the mother's womb, God said God knew you. Can you believe that? And I was wondering, God knew me before I was born. And God appointed me to be something here, prophet to the nation. Prophet means foreseeing something. God had a special purpose for you to be born in this earth. And you have some purpose. And you are not happen to be born. You are not accidentally born. This passage said there are special purpose. Purposely, your cell is knitted together, weaved into your mother's womb, and were born. And purposely, you are here too, I believe. And yes, and through this passage, I would say that, yes, I was born purposely. And why and how? And I would address to questioning more and more. And so this passage is coming from the Old Testament, so I decided to go into the New Testament, what the passage say about my birth. And some people wondering, why am I here? And for that question, we can be answered through the reading. If you are able, please open your Acts chapter 17, verse 26. It is in the New Testament. It goes into the right side in your Bible. It comes right after the fourth gospel in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And John, and then after that, is, the X is coming. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. You and I were born, and what happened after that? And this passage is given to the people in Athens, which means it is a place, and they are very religious people. And then Paul was visiting these people, and then they are worshiping God, but unknown God. And then Paul is saying that you are very religious. You are worshiping God, but it's your God has no names, no identity. Now I am here to give you the identity of your God, and through their identification of God in their gathering, this passage come up. The passage in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. This passage, the last statement that stands out in here, said, he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Set the time. You and I were not born in the before century, before 18th century or 19th century. You and I were born into the 21st century and placed in the Schomburg in here to be the church together, to be the persons of God together in this community in the 21st century. Before Thursday, I was so thrilled and happy about the Winterland in Chicago. When Thursday came, I got to start to ponder, why am I here? From the person is to here, it took me about 15 minutes. Can you believe that? I got behind the wheel, start the car, and tried to, I didn't even clear up the path yet and driveway. I tried to pull out my car, and then I just kung, 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 because I was hitting the pile of the snows there. And then make a turn, and then slowly but safely I drove. And when I made it a turn from Schomburg to the church parking lot, and then my mini is going into the different direction, I had no intention to it. I said, oh my Lord! And thankfully it stopped, and it was just kind of moving to their own direction, its own direction. It looks like my mini has its own mind. And then I was behind the wheel, I tried to control. As soon as I let go of the control, it stopped somehow. Thankfully, and then I drove into the parking lot safely. And then after that experience, I decided to call off all my outing appointment and visitation because I feel like it is not worth it to risk my life and the life of others for the sake of the ministry of God in here. So I call it off as many as I can, and because of that day. And that day, I start to ponder again. Why God called me into the ministry in Schomburg, in Chicago, not in California. Sunny times, and then always sunny. And if you got on my Facebook, you realize that last Sunday after church, I flew out to California. It was 70 and 80. Can you believe that? And on Monday, I got home, and still it's reasonable, even the 50s. And I was happy with that. But Thursday, turned my perception of the winter life in Schomburg, and I was wondering, what is happening? Why God is calling me? I was wondering. Probably you have the same question like mine. Why in the world God put you in this church, in this time, and in this community? Why? And why God put me into the family? I didn't choose my mom and dad. They are my mom and dad. Why God chose this mom and dad who bothered me all the time in the morning to wake me up, go to school, and go to the many sports activity I did not want to go sometimes. You might wonder, why? Why? That question is came up every time, especially winter time, starting last Thursday. I'm questioning, why? And then I'm going to start to look at another passage in here. If you are able, please open your Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It is a letter Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And he was writing this because he has a heart for it. Probably this letter is written for you and me too. Paul is writing these amazing letters to the church in Schaumburg called Our Redeemer's United Methodist Church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let us read it together. Ready? Go. He said that you and I are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Good works. What kind of good works are we talking about in here? You and I as a community of faith in this place. You and I as a citizen of the United States. You and I as the person who lived in the land of Chicago. What is a good works for you and me to pursue and do? And then what I was pondering about this idea, good works. And then I got to remember my friend's story from my college year. His name is Richard, a so-called nerd. He always gets a straight A all the time in his schoolwork. And then he lives in the library and study all the time. And believe it or not, I was a sort of butterfly, and I loved to party out and I meet people. And he was staying in the library all the time. If I needed to have some information, just call him up and get information right there. He was my living encyclopedia and on the campus. And one day we are near to finish the school and graduate, and he needed to finish the one paper. Now, as always, he had stayed in the library, do the research paper, and work on the paper, and finish it on time, and turn it in his paper. 3 weeks later, he told me that he received the paper back from the professors. And he said that the mark in red, definitely, he said, good grammar, good research, good bibliographic, and a good logic from beginning to end. Final grade, F. The message last one said that wrong assignment. He turned it into the wrong paper, not answering the right question for the particular class. You and I working hard at school, at church, in our life, in your family, in my family, we worked hard. We tried to build the church and clean up the house. Trustee, they tried to keep up this house to be, this building to be more welcoming, reasonable, and for the worship community. And the finance community, they tried to make sure that we have enough funds to funding the ministry. Step Parish, they tried to make sure that we have enough human resource in the congregation to support the ministry direction we are heading to. Office staff, they are doing their best to keep up with the daily activities. In the Bible study groups, we study as much as we can to be the effective disciples of Jesus Christ. And then at the end, what if we get a final grade F? You did not accomplish the things you are being assigned to. I just talked about this in my mind. What is our given assignment we needed to pursue so we can get final grade better than F? What is the given assignment we need to pursue? We work hard every day. We try to excel at whatever we are doing in our personal life, in our community life. What is the main assignment? And then I thought about salvation. Salvation is not just for you and me to go to the heaven. If salvation is just all about you and I who ended up in heaven, in the heavenly kingdom, If that is the case, soon you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That moment is the time you and I need to end up in the heavenly kingdom, in heaven. You and I need to give up the life on the earth. You and I need to be up in the heaven, right? If that is solely the purpose of the salvation, even though you and I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, still we are alive on the earth. And even though we are struggling through a lot of different things around the earth, we are still alive. Why? The meaning is this salvation, coming of Jesus Christ into our life, is not just for your well-being. There might be something else God wants us to accomplish so we can finish the labor on the earth to accomplish the glory through our life. What are those? And through that thinking, I realized that in the heaven, there is one thing will not be there for you and me, non-Christians. Our Christian brothers and sisters, you and I will end up in the same place in the heavenly kingdom. But the non-Christian, non-believer, those people who are not able to accept or hear the good news of Jesus Christ and accept this good news into their lives, they're not going to be there. You and I have some purpose in here. Our purpose is not growing this church, adding more number to this church. That is not our ultimate purpose. Ultimate purpose for you and me, the good word we define in here is expand the kingdom of God so we can have more brothers and sisters in Christ in heaven. And in the kingdom of God on earth, it will be happen for you and me too. Expanding the church is not our purpose, but expanding the kingdom of God. That's why we can work together with other churches too. If their persons are more familiar and comfortable to nurture their faith journey or their faith in other churches, we encourage them to go. And then those people who feel so welcome and nurtured and grow in this community, I embrace them. Come and join us. Try out. If you think that this is not the right church for you, there are other churches for you to grow. Don't drop. This is not the only church you can belong to. You can go to another Christian church and grow and nurture. I hope that everybody comes to this church nurtured their faith with us together, but it is not the only way. When I think about why you and I needed to be church together in this place, especially in the land of Chicago, why? I was thinking and thinking, and then I decided to do some research about Chicago. And Chicago has several nicknames. The first one is that the city works. City works. City that works. The mean, the people of this land is not just sitting around. They works. And the people works. The people do something. Like a citizen of Romans, they are in action. The people of the Chicago land is geared towards the action. Good works make differences. That, do you know that is the DNA of the land of Chicago? That is a part of you too. I'm trying to define the who we are so we can be more effective. Pursuing good work. Expanding the kingdom of God together. You and I are not just sitting down in the person, but it's we are getting on our 2 feet and worked it out something. Purposely. Another nickname of Chicago is a city of big shoulders. Someone can lean on us. Someone can rely on us. Big shoulder. And another nickname for city of the Chicago is city of neighborhood. That means a neighborhood comprises more than 75 official neighborhood. Diversity. We embrace and celebrate a diversity. It is not uniformity. We accept the differences as they are and harmonize. Like singing the song, some people needed to sing soprano high note, and some people needed to sing the alto a little bit less, lower low note, and tenor, baritone, and then those bass, you know, those kind of range of the voice we needed to have to harmonize. 2 weeks ago, we talked about setting up the compass. And today is January what? 15. You and I lived for 15 days already. Is this New Year's for you? Did you do something new, something differently than what you did in the past, last year? If you have not done anything new, this year is not New Year's for you yet. You still have a time. We just lived 15 days. We have more days to fulfill this year. If you truly want to have a New Year's, this year's to be, do something differently this year. It's something different. And how about your New Year's resolution? How are you doing with your plan? God has amazing plans for you, but you and I need to discern. That is our responsibility. God has a plan for you and me, but you and I need to open our eyes, open our heart to discern and capture the moment of the plan God has in store for our lives on the earth. It is our responsibility to open our eyes, to see, open our heart, to capture the movement of the Holy Spirit. You and I have this responsibilities to do what we can do. Here, another definition of Chicagoland is a wind city. I thought it the first time I heard this, because of the wind, the weather. I thought it's because of that our city become a wind city. And definitely every day that I'm affirmed by this reality I'm experiencing every day. It's a wind city. But not just because of the weather. I learned that it's in 1976, Cincinnati and the city of Chicago, they have a competition about meatpacking trade company in a world of the business. And then they realized that Chicago, before it become the land of the trade and the business, and they realized that some new things are coming out of this land. They named it wind. And vividly, especially it is in 1933, when New York City and Chicago City, they competed each other to host the World Fair Conference in 1933. And then this Chicago land start to step up, blossom up, and bring their spirit. And they define the spirit of the land like this. The city of Chicago is called the Windy City because of the habit of the rapid boosterism and shameless boasting. Isn't it amazing, spirit? You and I are having this. I'm gradually adopting the spirit of the land. Shameless boasting. What are we boasting as a Christian and followers of Jesus Christ? I am not ashamed of the gospel, good news of Jesus Christ. This is the one we are not shamefully boasting, but we are bringing this amazing gospel. Shamelessly, we share with the rapid boosterism. You know, you and I are not born to be quiet. And then when I realized that this is the spirit of the land, I had an aha moment. You and I purposely put it into this church, in this land of Chicago, in the 21st century. Global church. Local church, global church, global church, global is the word I made it up. Global and local, and it is not in the dictionary, by the way, I just wanted to define. We needed to be a church in a local setting. At the same time, you and I needed to be the church in the global situation, especially people living in Chicago. It is our context. We, as a church, needed to be local church. adapt this context to be the preacher and sharer of the good news of Jesus Christ shamelessly. That is our purpose, our plan. You and I got together as a church of God in this place with the purpose. And the people ask me what I am dreaming of for this church for this year. I am dreaming of our church to harmonize purposefully and moving together as a community of a faith with a different gift and appreciate his differences together. So we can sing and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world by becoming the church home, welcoming, nurturing, and celebrating God in everyone. I hope everyone who coming to this church feel home right there in welcoming home and nurturing home and celebrating home, God in everyone. Let us be the church continuously. Wherever we go, in Christ's name.